Welcome to the Ross Chapman Audio Experience.
Hey, podcast listeners. It has been a few months. Last episode was in September, so there's probably a little bit to update you on. Going from September, pretty much head down, did a lot in terms of delivering projects, making changes as head of design at the digital product studio that I work at, Abodo. And then hit Christmas, time off, pretty much down tools and didn't think about work, really chilled out and had some great time with friends and family, mainly family, because still difficult to see friends with lockdowns and things like that, and more recently storms. Going into January, after the first week, of course, starting up a product design agency again takes a while, but actually in the second week started to find momentum. And one of the biggest things that we learned as a team was we were starting to look at kind of projects that we wouldn't normally consider and just accepting them because we were not having the projects finalized that we would normally work on. And that was actually a bit of a win because there's this concept about restarting the engine. And restarting a studio after a break, having just a few projects, even if they're just a few days or they're below budget, they still restart the engine. And I think there's something around that. I think it's really important that you do restart the engine. You do start getting all those rhythms of running your business and the teams working together and having those weekly sync-ups and retrospectives and starting to plan out your content calendar and sales forecasts. I think it all makes sense. So that's a big tip that I'll use again next January. If there are projects that are slightly below budget or slightly below what we would deem absolutely, you know, top notch, then I would actually consider getting them in just to restart the engine. And I'm going to be talking more about the running of a business and some of the strategies and activities and the things that I'm thinking about, because when I came back in January, I actually moved roles. I was head of design and I'd run that role for a number of months since joining the agency. For anyone that hasn't kind of clocked it, I was working at a previous agency called Etch for about 4 years, made massive kind of improvements in myself and grew in a great kind of fashion. And I think admittedly had two great years just in between the four, and then needed an opportunity to move, restart, gain a new team, gain a new environment. And that's what led me to Abodo. What actually led me to Abodo was Aaron slipping into my DMs on LinkedIn and us having a great chat and starting to talk about the possibilities of me joining as head of design. So I moved from being a head of design last year into January, where I took the mantle of managing director. Now, as a designer, the first few months, it's February now, so I've had two good months of it. There has been a gentle, or maybe not so gentle, rewiring of how I approach problems, situations, decisions. And I just wanted to talk about those to start with. And then as we get through to the end, I'm going to talk more about what you can expect from myself in the content that I'm creating and also this podcast. So, becoming managing director, there's been a number of things that I've had to change about myself in my behaviors and attitudes. And the first massive change, there's two key ones. The first massive change has been around delegating. Over the last 4 years, I really haven't delegated. When I was running Etch Sprints, I was the team of one. I was called the lone wolf, just kind of pretending at running a business and making a ton of mistakes, some successes, running my first 150 design sprints, and being able to not only run the design sprints, but also sell the design sprints and also market the design sprints. So I was just living my best life. And amongst some of my friends, we would say, including Dana, who I've been running the Go Getters podcast with, we kind of say that maybe I peaked a few years ago. And, you know, maybe that's helped me move towards where I am right now and where I'm going towards. And the thing about that is I couldn't delegate. There was no one to delegate to. It all fell to me. And I actually like that because I wasn't going to let myself down. And quite bizarrely, I wasn't looking forward to weekends so much. I really enjoyed my working week, and I really enjoyed kind of running design sprints, but also being a ambassador about them, talking and sharing and running workshops and running webinars just to run them, kind of being able to execute all that knowledge that I've had through listening to people like Gary Vaynerchuk for the past 10 years, being able to emulate people that I respect and just having fun with it. And now moving into a managing director role, you can't do that. And I've made that mistake more than 5 times since I've taken the role. It's ever so easy to have those initial conversations with a client or make a decision, and then I automatically go, well, I'll do that. And I've had to rewire myself to say, we'll do that. And, you know, I'll introduce you to the team that's going to do that. And that's been a massive change. I'm still making mistakes on it. I still talk to, you know, some of our clients and say, yeah, sure, I'll run that workshop next week, and then get off the call and go, oh, what did I do? Why have I done that? Some of it is necessity. Obviously, we're a very small team, and the more that I can do, the more that I can ensure that we're going to give a client a great experience and solve their problem. But also, it's about being able to trust your team and being able to ensure that I'm freeing myself up, because I should not be doing any delivery whatsoever. That is not my role. That is not what a managing director does. And it's taken me a while to get there because I have to trust the team. I have to take a view to, yes, we're going to do great work and someone else is going to do that. And I have quite high standards when it comes to being able to solve problems, being able to deliver great value. And I've probably been more of a MD about some aspects of how I approach work over the last few years. For instance, I don't obsess about how things look in a PowerPoint deck or how things manifest in an Instagram social media post. I don't care about that stuff. I care more about quantity because I know quality will follow. And so some of those qualities have come through to my role now. But delegating has been something that I've just had to challenge myself and really change, like I say, my behavior and attitude towards it. Another thing that I've changed or found change in myself is, as listeners to this will probably know, I'm a huge fan of the design sprint. I read the sprint book years ago now. Don't know how long, probably 5 or 6 years ago. And it told me how to design. It told me exactly step by step how to design, which, having not had formal training, really helped me have the confidence to go ahead and start projects. And through that, I found that actually that's the part of design that I like. I like starting from scratch. I like looking at the product strategy and understanding product market fit, making that first prototype design, user testing that, and then delivering it. And I like that. After that, it reminds me of being within a product company or a straight to consumer company where you could work on something a week, and if it kind of gets extended and you're working it the second week and then you're there for a month, it's just really hard to build momentum and to do that at pace. And so using the design sprint just gave me a lot of enjoyment and also just played to my strengths. Skip forward, you know, 150 design sprints plus, and moving into this role now, it's interesting to see the experiments that I'm running. And one of those, which is working, works only because it starts solving a problem. So now I'm managing director. My problem to solve is, how do I grow a sustainable business? And when I say sustainable, I mean one that can pretty much, not on autopilot like Eamon Ghazi would say, but reduce the stress of running it and ensure that everyone knows what's happening and know that we've got a pipeline and know what we're doing, because that's something that agencies struggle with. It's sometimes hand to mouth. It's sometimes either taking good projects that are just not engaging and interesting but well paid, or taking really interesting projects, maybe for social good or in healthcare, and that being a minimal budget. And I've had a run of both, but they've always been 1 or 2 weeks. Now, when I joined Abodo, we had a recipe that was 4 weeks long, because after the initial user test, we would then iterate and improve and deliver high quality UI. So that was a 4 week recipe. But still, even then, you've got an amazing effort in front of you. You have to find enough projects to then deliver over 4 weeks, and then find more projects and then deliver them over 4 weeks. And so what I found was a challenge. How can I grow a sustainable business when I join as managing director in January? And the only way that I could think about it is very anti-design sprint. And that is around the topic of monthly recurring revenue. Now, monthly recurring revenue means that you make one sale and you keep working with that client. It's how most agencies work. And it means that you can manage that account. A client project becomes an account, and you have an account director, account manager, and you essentially service them. But it often has the problem of it just goes on autopilot and then becomes, you know, middling value. And that's just not something I wanted to do with this business. So what we've done is we experimented with monthly recurring revenue by selling a month or 3 months or 6 months, and that has started to work. It's started to work so well that it's actually providing further sales within the same client. And it's just one of those experiments that work. There are other experiments that haven't worked, and I will bore you with those if you ever come to ask me with those questions. But it's the only way that I can see, or one of the few ways that I can see, that I can establish new employees into roles and start growing this company by people, not just by revenue. And probably the third change is I've been working from home for the last 2 years. And in that time, and I only recognized it at the beginning of this month, in that time, I've moved from head of design thinking in one company to head of design in another company, and then to managing director at the same company. And changing roles, but staying in the same environment was messing with my head. I'm the biggest advocate for remote work. And what I found was I wasn't remote working. I was working from home. Unlike other Robin Hoods, I don't have a dedicated workspace at home. Right now, I'm in the conservatory of my house. It is not designed to be worked in for a long amount of time. And so I recognize this. I started to investigate where I could work. Spent an awful amount of time looking at kind of solo offices where I could just have a door to close. I could have a room to myself because I thought that's what I needed. I thought I needed a room outside of home that I could just concentrate in. And actually, I said, okay, well, let's try co-working spaces. I didn't think it would work. The one that I had my eye on is quite large. I thought it'd be echoey. I thought there'd be lots of background noise. But I tried it, and funnily enough, it actually worked. Eagle Labs in Southampton, which is I timed it the other day, a 12-minute bike ride from my house, and it's actually a really good route. I love cycling, if you haven't worked out. It's a really good route. It's not very strenuous. I can get there on good time, and it's downhill all the way home, which is quite nice. The thing that I found going there was I really relished the buzz around me. There were other people doing work, and I needed to do work, and that was a really encouraging thing for me. So I started trialing that out for a week, got to know some of the people there. I tried another one, which I won't name, and it just wasn't as good. It looked nicer and it was cheaper, but it was loud, it was chaotic, and dare I say, the people that were milling about were not inspiring me. And where I am at Eagle Labs right now, and I don't know how long I'll be there, they are creative, they are running startups, they're either doing marketing or other industries that I haven't investigated yet, but it's a very friendly and warm place. I get to go in a lift up 2 floors. There's a hook for my bike. There is a shower if I need it. There are tea and coffee making facilities and a fridge with beer in it. It actually reminded me of Etch 3 or so years ago. And so there was a kind of mix of new beginnings, a nice environment, but also a bit of nostalgia, which is always a bit of a comfort. So I've started going there. I go there about twice a week. Not this week. It's spring half term. I'm half being a parent and half kind of working from home this week. And yeah, those are the 3 things that have really changed over the course of the last few months. Now, let's turn our attention to the content that I've been creating or not over the last few months. I joke with some of my friends that I peaked a couple of years ago because I kind of did. I was top of my game, being invited to speaking gigs. A lot of my sales were word of mouth. People found me, and I peaked. I absolutely peaked, and I'm the first to admit that. The last few years, I've been kind of putting myself in new situations to grow, and then more recently joining this firm, learning how this business works, and then setting about changing and improving. And now I feel like I'm in a situation where I'm able to address the thing that I haven't been doing very well at all, which is creating content for all you people. And I need to address that. The first step is in creating this podcast. Let's talk about why I do this. Initially, I started doing more personal branding and creating content because I knew I had to. That is the way to build awareness, build an audience. But also, as I was running Design Sprints, which is a very repeatable formula, I was able to talk about them because every time I did a workshop or did a Q&A or ran a webinar, I would get asked the same questions. So it was really easy to answer that. And I haven't been doing that so much recently because I've been learning this new business and got myself in a situation of being MD now. But I now need to turn my attention to creating content because of the following reasons. I think people buy from people. I've been following people like Gary Vaynerchuk for the past 10 years. I haven't been following VaynerMedia or VaynerX over the last few years. I've been following a person because I like listening and getting inspired and just being influenced by people. And when it comes to doing marketing for a business, everyone reasonably fails because they try and give their business a tone of voice. They try, and I say they, I've tried this as well. Probably when I was most successful creating content was when I was sharing a ton of content through the Etch Sprints Instagram channel. And I just find that when you're creating personal content, that you don't have to have rounds of meetings about it. You don't have to decide the tone of voice. You just have to be yourself. You have to be yourself and you have to create and share often. And I haven't been those two things and I need to be. So why do that is because I think it's going to reflect well in the company that I'm running. And also I think it's going to reflect well in really creating to my beliefs, which are that you do have to do personal branding. I don't think it's an option. I think it's a necessity. And even my children, my son said today, we were out on a bike ride. He said, "Dad, when are you going to make your next YouTube video?" I haven't made a YouTube video in years. And I've just created loads of blockers to me creating anything like that. So I am starting to get back into it. I'm going to address this podcast first, then the Instagram channel, newsletter, and I need to be a little bit selective and just go all in on that. So likely I'll create TikTok content, then reshare as reels on Instagram. YouTube needs to be a mix of super peer streams and some original content, but not just waiting for that, because you'll be waiting for years again. And I just need to bake this into my week. I'm sure I will likely need help. I'm sure I will at some point need an editor or a writer or, you know, one day maybe a videographer. I don't need that right now. I need to get back to my peak of where I was a few years ago, and then that's going to create the friction that I need to then scale that operation. But yeah, that is the state of content from Ross right now. Is it's going to come in thick and fast. I think I've got something more original to say now. I think probably some of the friction was I was talking about the same stuff for years. Now I'm in a managing director role. I can talk about how to run a design business rather than run design sprints. I can talk about how to onboard a team. I can talk about sales. I can talk about how to have difficult conversations with either your team or your clients. I can talk about, anything and anything. I would love to talk about our kind of forecasts and sales and a lot of the kind of strategy around it. I'm probably limited in the fact that it's not my business, but I'll share as much as I can. And I think I've probably got something original to say. I hope that you'll continue listening, and I hope that you'll continue giving me feedback. So please do, on whichever channel you find most comfortable. And for now, I hope you're all well, and speak soon.